Blog Talk Radio.
Making my own dreams come true, one happily ever after at a time.
Hi, and welcome to a very special episode of Books with Becky. Normally, listeners, it's interviewing a fellow author. Well, not really an interview so much. We kind of tend to keep it a very casual, chatty kind of atmosphere. But because today is my release day for the fourth in my Faded series, I am the guest, and my daughter Morgan is going to be your host. And just in case you're curious, we are also live streaming this on Facebook via Becky Slade Author. And you can ask any questions in that comment section that you may want Morgan to ask. And with that said, I want to turn the reins over to my monkey.
Okay, so I figured this is the most basic question ever, but you have to ask it. When was the first moment you decided that you wanted to be an author?
Okay, so that's kind of a difficult question to answer, and you're right, it is the most common one you get asked, but it wasn't a decision-making process. It wasn't like one day I just woke up and decided, oh, I want to be an author when I grow up. I've had stories, characters, plot lines, conflicts, made-up ones, imaginary ones, just in my imagination, like a running movie strip my entire life. So those stories have always been with me. I didn't realize I wanted to put those stories onto paper and to actually see it in print and have other people read it until I was in kindergarten. I was in Brown Elementary here in Philadelphia, and I had Mrs. Daniels as a kindergarten teacher. And during free time, I asked her to help me write a book. And I did all the illustrations, and I dictated what I wanted it to say because I couldn't write all the words I wanted to say. She did that for me. And my mom still has that book pressed in the pages of her family Bible.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. So, question number two. Why did you want to write the Faded series?
Okay. So, the Faded series was never intended to actually be a book, let alone a series. My dad's dog had passed away. And I was feeling a little melancholy about that. And because even though he was my dad's dog, he was the family pet. And we had him for a very, very long time before he finally, passed. And there was this incident with me and the dog about almost a quarter of a century ago during a blizzard when he got confused about, where to go to the bathroom with the world just being covered in snow. And he urinated on my leg. And I screamed at him that he is not my friend anymore. And so after Champ had passed away and I was feeling a little melancholy, I started writing a short story about a tabloid journalist who was staking out a spot in the woods where, a werewolf was rumored to live, and that the werewolf peed on her to mark her as his territory to the other animals in the forest, and she yelled at him that she wasn't his friend anymore. And that somehow just continued to, that very short story just kept, I couldn't stop writing it. It just kept growing and growing and growing, and it became Faded Souls. And then that led into Faded Hearts, which gave way to Faded Desires. And now it's 24 years after that damn dog peed on me, and Faded Always has released.
Well.
So thank you, Champ. And the blizzard of 1996.
She's bad at math.
I am extraordinarily bad at math.
Do you plan to do more with the series?
Yes and no. I had thought the fourth would be the final. I have, since I first started working on the fourth one 3 years ago, I had decided that the fourth one was the last one. But recently I've been dealing with a little bit of a tickle in the back of my imagination about what could come next. So that's a little personal mystery just for me, whether or not there will be more.
Do you have any plans for future books? Not just including the Faded series, but anything else you're working on?
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing with an imagination like mine. it never rests. It does not take a break. And sometimes I got to write it down just to, almost like shut it up, which makes me sound a little bit psycho. But honestly, find me an author out there that isn't just a tiny, or an artist of any kind out there that isn't just a little bit psycho. But I'm about a quarter, maybe about a quarter of the way through a new story about a Philadelphia police detective. And it's romantic suspense. It's a little darker than what I've normally written. I've also already begun the first in a serial killer trilogy that I actually sat that one aside to finish working on Faded Always. And then in between finishing the final edits on Faded Always and starting promotions for Faded Always, I started working on the darker one that I previously mentioned. So I have two open manuscripts right now.
Do you get writer's block?
Every writer gets writer's block.
How
often? Oh, it happens all the time. And there's like degrees. There are levels of degrees. Okay, Cordell, stop calling right now. You're interfering with a live broadcast. So, writer's block. So it's degrees. You might have the weirdest little writer's block. There's a specific word that you knew every second of your entire life until this moment where it fits in that sentence, and you can't think of it. And you can't continue. Like, you got to remember that word. No other word will do. It's got to be that word. 9 times out of 10, that's the sentence that ends up getting cut during edits. I kid you not. But sometimes you just got to get up and take a walk, get something to eat, grab a cigarette, take a shower, dance, put on really loud music and dance around your living room for 5 minutes, or, play a couple rounds of Candy Crush on your phone. Like, just something that occupies your brain in a different way, because when you're least thinking about it, boom, there's that word. And then sometimes it'll be days where you want to write, you feel this urge to write, it's almost like breathing, and you can't think of a single thing to say, and you're just staring at a blank page, completely at a loss, not knowing what to do next because you can't think of a single thing to write down. And those, you just gotta keep the faith. You just gotta sit down in front of that blank page and sweat it out day after day after day, even if you're just writing over and over again, I suck, until something actually comes out of you and makes sense that you're proud of and you want to keep.
And you actually answered like the third question I had.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, what was it?
It was, do you get writer's block? How often? What can you do to get past it? And you literally answered
all three.
Yes.
I'm an excellent,
you are. Interview. What inspires you to write such amazing, sitting on the edge of your seat, binge-worthy stories?
Aw, maybe you are my favorite. Let's see. What inspires me? Everything. Everything inspires me. Not sometimes. It's all the time. Like that, like I said, it's a constant stream. So I put myself to sleep at night by telling myself a story. When I'm in the shower, I'm telling myself a story. When I'm sitting outside smoking a cigarette, I'm telling myself a story. My mom, last week when we were visiting, was very upset by the fact that every time I went outside by myself to smoke, she would look out the window and it looked like I was out there talking to myself. And I really wasn't talking to myself. I was literally working on dialogue between two fake characters in my head, or working on my budget. Math is a... So...
It's a no-no.
It's a no-no. Math and I don't go together well. So... I feel like I'm edging myself slowly, like little by little, just out of the screen. It's going to be just Morgan and the recliner soon.
That's okay.
That's better.
How you doing, recliner?
Yes. Recliner, what do you think? But everything kind of, any little thing like the dog peeing on me 24 years ago.
You really can't get into that, can you?
No, but there's just some stories in any family that become epic, like me yelling at Champ, you're not my friend anymore. or my brother Nicholas saying he doesn't understand how all these people get killed by the bad guys. Can't they hear the music playing?
Wait, he said that?
Yeah, he did. Or my brother Christopher was talking to himself in the bathroom, and somebody hollered, like, you know, hey, who are you talking to in there? And his response was Jimmy Hoffa. You making a face because it's a funny thing for him to say, or are you making a face because you don't know who Jimmy Hoffa is? You don't know who Jimmy Hoffa is.
Anyway, going back
to
that.
Oh, I digress. Okay. So, yeah, Champ, me and Champ during the blizzard, that's kind of like an iconic family story that always gets told at family functions, kind of a thing. So, but it's just those little things that will inspire almost anything. The Tala and Sawyer in Faded Always are playing Dirty Word Travel on date night. And I actually took that from an actual date night where me and my companion sat and played Dirty Word Travel.
One, two, two. Kind of cute, kind of funny.
Yeah. I told you my battery would not last for the whole interview, didn't I?
Oh. Okay. Oh, well,
you okay? Well, we probably have about 5 minutes left for the podcast. So we're gonna need to plug in.
How much research goes into your book?
Sometimes a lot. Sometimes a whole lot. It depends on, you know, when you'll hear people give people advice that, you know, write what you know. Well, that's going to be pretty boring, right? Write what you know is the life experiences that you've had, the emotions, the give and take, but all the details that you pack into a book surrounding your reality that you're putting on the page, if it's not something that you know how to do, you got to research it.
That's
okay, baby.
I'm so tired.
Trapper's Cove is a fictional place, but it's set in Minnesota. So I actually had to research the area of Minnesota where I was sticking my fake town to make sure that there are mudslides in April when they have the thaw, and that it is possible for them. I told you. Oh. So if you were watching us on Facebook, we just lost our feed because my battery died. So now it's just we're going to finish this up this way. So, but I had to do really detailed research to make sure that the things I was saying were accurate. That's one of the, like, there's this running gag you'll see a lot on social media where an author's like, please don't arrest me, CIA. I'm just a writer, not a terrorist, because they've looked up 90 seconds. I've looked up all these different ways to make bombs. Oh, yeah, definitely. Done that, been there. How do I make bombs? How long does it take a body to decompose? Are wolves native to that area in Minnesota? I think of all the books I've written, the one I had to research the least was the one I set here in Philadelphia, that I set in my hometown involving a police officer and law enforcement and the legal arena. That one I just pulled the most from personal experience and therefore had to research the least. We have less than a minute to go. I want to thank my beautiful host for interviewing me. Did we get through all of your questions,
yes,
love? Excellent. Okay, so it's release day for Faded Always. It can be found everywhere you buy your favorite quality digital books.
And I highly recommend them.
I do as well.
And I'm a very picky reader, so, but I've always loved hearing you tell stories and reading your stories. Like, they've always just, you start saying something and I'm immediately just sitting there like,
oh.
Just completely, like, wrapped up in whatever you're telling me.
Well, thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Oh, and listeners, Faded Always will be specially priced for Kindle only through this Saturday, the 16th. So pick it up while it's on sale. or wait and pay full price. I'm good either way.
Aw, thank you, baby. Thank you so much for interviewing me today.